Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason on Inside Sources.
Welcome back to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. It's great to be with you today. As always, I am Boyd Matheson. If you missed the last segment, wow, that was powerful. It was all part of SheTech. Of course, we had Sid Tetro, who drives that organization in an amazing way. They'll have 4,000 young people next week at SheTech Explorer Day. And I especially love that we had Rebecca from Hunter High and Sydney from Millard on the show. Those were powerful young women who didn't think they really fit in STEM or technology or any of those spaces. But then after that experience, realized, wow, they've got some natural aptitude and skills. They were able to connect with mentors and learn so many different things. It's an extraordinary thing here in the state of Utah, and it makes all of us better. And we've been talking about a lot of extraordinary women today, including Nikki Haley. I think her speech, as she suspended her campaign, she really called the nation to some critical conversations, and that's an important thing for us to get to. And one of my other favorite people who calls us to important conversations, Gaynalyn Condi, joins us on the line for some important perspective in our conversation. It's easy to get lost in all the divisiveness and all the anger and fear and frustration stuff going on, but we're going to call you now to an important conversation. And Gaynalyn, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back with you, Boyd, always.
You had a powerful piece at Deseret.com over the weekend. As we have the crucial conversation around mental health, about suicide, you, of course, have a personal experience and story that you've shared with so many, and the principles behind that, where we've come in terms of these kinds of conversations around mental health and suicide. And so give us that perspective, and then give us some of the things where we've made some progress and what we have left to do.
Yeah, I really appreciated being able to put some complex feelings to paper and try to find words to describe a complex issue like mental health and suicide grief that our family went through 10 years ago. So the anniversary is coming up in just a few days of when my 40-year-old sister Meg died by suicide. And so for the last decade, I've been working in this space and in some spaces where the interconnection between mental health and some other demographics wasn't as obvious. Maybe 10 years ago, it's a little more obvious now, specifically faith. I was at the Nikki Haley rally. Was it last week? I don't know. It feels like each day is extra long right now. But she was even talking about her husband's own journey and our veterans out there, specifically giving a shout out to PTSD. So it's not just thoughts of self-harm. It's not just suicide grief. It's mental health in general. And in that space, the last 10 years, I've learned a lot about my own mental health. I've tried to have a lot of conversations around mental health. And I think especially what you do so well each day on the show is that divisiveness and that anger and vitriol that sometimes comes with our social media posting or our political commentation or faith conversations really is and has taken a toll on our mental health. And we can each move the needle in how we approach some of those more sensitive subjects in a way that's more mental health friendly.
Yeah. And as you've been doing this over the last decade, I know it's a significant mile marker here, 10 years down the road. You pointed out in your piece at Deseret.com, just some areas where we should be celebrating, where Utah's leading the way in some things, and yet there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
Yeah, I just went to a funeral on Saturday for a young man in my community that died by suicide. And so one suicide is too many suicides. But I do think as I've approached this anniversary and in many ways can't believe it's been 10 years, but some days I feel like it was just yesterday, there's been some improvement and change. And I think Utah is leading the way. And I hope the nation as a whole can kind of look at what we're doing. I've loved working with the Cook Center for Human Connection. They've launched a free resource called parentguidance.org. And I love it because it allows parents to submit questions to therapists if their question isn't already answered. That new IHC Primary Children's Hospital in Lehi, where I live, has a behavioral unit from the Cook family that was one of the main donors for that to happen. And this inpatient, outpatient resource is like none other. And when I did do a private tour for the Ribbon cutting and all of that, I said, how long can someone stay? And they said, as long as is needed. And I literally started weeping. And I said to the Cook family, you know, 10 years ago, there weren't places like this. And so I'm grateful to see that. And I'm grateful to see that we're having conversations within faith communities, you know, and the work that I've done and the books that I've published, because of sharing Meg's story, I've been able to go into other faith communities that are not my own and share how faith and mental health intersects. Yeah. I always like to say that Jesus loves a good therapist. So I don't think it's one or the other. And sometimes I think people of faith start to feel like if I have enough scripture and enough faith and enough prayer, then I won't have these battles. But the reality is we all have needs mentally that need to be addressed.
Yeah, no question about that. You also pointed out in your piece that we are making some progress with men talking about mental health. That's been an area that's been very slow to come around, but we're getting there. We're starting it.
Well, you know, I love the courage of this young man's parents. His sisters and his parents both spoke at the funeral, which is a miraculous feat to do if someone is dealing with this kind of loss. And his father got up and was really bold and said, I'm a hypocrite, right? We need to be talking differently about men's mental health because they're the number one group dying by suicide, just on numbers. If we just take numbers and put it on a graph, that's the number one group. And I love what Silicon Slopes is doing and many others within like professional sports circles and business groups that are saying, you know, where we find a high population of men, we need to have a different conversation. One of the things I like to say is, men, when you go to work or go home at dinner time and you talk about your therapy appointment, you are providing for your family in a way that is beyond a paycheck number. And so I think when the men in our lives hear us say to them, you're providing for our family or our community in ways that can't be maybe measured in a bank account, but it provides for us when a man says, I need support, and it may look different, you know. I think traditionally we thought of therapy as just talk therapy, and for the men in my life, sometimes that is like panic button, you know, like, wait, we're just going to sit and talk about our feelings. That sounds like horrible torture. I can't do that. But therapy in the last 10 years, I would just say the other good news is that that term has expanded. There's a lot of modalities out there. There's telemed now, so you don't need to even let anyone know. You can go get in your car at lunchtime and have a therapy session. And maybe it looks different, you know, than traditionally just talking through all the feelings. So don't tune me out when I say to men, go to therapy. It's a big term.
That's a big term. Absolutely. And so many great resources out there. Parentguidance.org was one that you mentioned. Of course, we want to make sure as we close out here, 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Don't ever hesitate there if you're worried or if you're worried about someone. Reach out. It's all of our job. As always, Gaynalyn Condi, thanks for elevating the conversation and providing some perspective when it comes to our mental health and how we all need to link arms and do this thing together. Gaynalyn, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
You can check out Gaynalyn's piece at Deseret.com. It's must read today. We all need this in all our communities. It is the crucial conversation. That wraps up hour number one of Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. Don't go anywhere. Big hour number two coming up. Jeffrey Rosen will join us. He's the CEO of the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia. That's coming up next.
KSL FM Midvale.
KSL Salt Lake City.
From the KSL Common Spirit Health Studios, this is KSL News Radio.
Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.